The last time I was here, just over a month ago, we began a three-part series here in 2 Chronicles, chapter 31. And our text is verses 20 and 21. And we find in verse 20 the three parts listed. And the last time we looked at the first part, let's remind ourselves of the scripture here, and then we'll get into part 2. It says, "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered." We find this Hezekiah here, according to this portion of scripture, it says that he did that which was good and right and true before the Lord his God. A key to this is in the last part of verse 20, before the Lord his God. Hezekiah did not do what was good and right and true according to the world. He did what was good and right and true according to the Lord, before the Lord. Last time we looked at the word good, and we saw what is good. Of course we saw that God is good, and we saw many other things about good. And tonight we want to look at right. What is right? You can speak to different people, and depending upon their foundation will determine what they say is right. You speak to a Muslim, and he will tell you that the Quran is right. We say that the Word of God is right. An atheist will tell you that evolution is right. We say that Genesis chapter 1 is right. So depending upon your foundation will depend what you believe is right. And of course we believe God to be our foundation. And we look to the Word of God to find out what is right. If you look at the definition of the word right, it means equity, that which is straight, that which is upright, that which is correct. Right is that which is pleasing to God. Right is that which is just, which is fitting, which is proper. And to use another word that we find in the scriptures, right is that which is meet, of M-E-E-T. And so we as God's people not only need to do what is good, but we need to do what is right as well. If we're going to do right, and we're going to do good, and if we're going to be true, then we must have a right perspective of God. I want us to look tonight at some things that we find in the Word of God that the Word of God says is right. Turn first of all to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. The first words in the book of Genesis are, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. The fact is that God is the foundation. You take God away and you have no foundation for your beliefs. You have no foundation for your theology. You have no foundation for your existence. But we find here in Psalm 145 and verse 17, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." And one of the things I want to put across to you as a Christian is that you will grasp a better understanding of who God is. There is a need in the life of every Christian that they have an intimate relationship with God, that they know who God is, and that they learn to trust Him. And as Christians, we need to be convicted that the Lord is righteous in all His ways and that He is holy in all His works. You look at Deuteronomy in chapter 32 and verse 4. We find that the Lord is right, He is our foundation, and He is right. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. God is equitable, He is straight, He is upright, He is correct, He is just, He is proper, He is right. We find that not only is God right, but if you look in Psalm 19, again, the importance of the Word of God. I've said this before and I'll say it here again. There are two things that Satan wants to keep you from. He wants to keep you from the Word of God, and he wants to keep you from prayer. In the latter part of Ephesians 6, in the description of the armour of the Christian, the first is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then in verse 18 it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Satan does not want us in the Word, and he does not want us praying. Let me ask you this evening, have you been in the Word of God? Have you spent time in prayer today? Have you fellowshipped with the Lord? What about yesterday? What about tomorrow? And by the way, praying does not mean going to God with a shopping list of what you want. Have you got alone with God and spent time communing with the Lord in prayer? Have you fellowshiped with the Lord as you've gone through the day? Have you talked with Him, fellowshiped with Him, carried on a conversation with Him? This is important to do. And so the importance of God's Word. Have you looked into God's Word to see what God has for you today? You see, we need the Word, because if I'm going to do right, and if God is right, then I've got to know what God says is right. We find the Word of God is right in Psalm 19 and verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When we begin to line it up and see what God says, we see that God is right and His Word is right. We start to live according to the Word of God. Now we find joy that can only come by obeying the Lord. We look in Psalm 33 and verse 4. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants to know peace and to be filled with joy. And that can only truly be found in being at peace with God and being at one with the Lord and being in union and communion with Him in service to Him. In Psalm 33 verse 4 it says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. For the word of the Lord is right. It is upright, it's equitable, it's straight, it's just, it's fitting, it's proper. The word of God is right. If you have a difference of opinion with someone, instead of saying, well, this is what I think, go to the Word of God and say, this is what God says. Because that's the bottom line. Our opinions, what we think, it's of no regard if it does not line up with the Word of God. And we need to be careful. Here's something that we have to be careful of. Don't go to the Scripture to find something to help justify your position, to bolster your argument. Our position should be what the Word of God says, not to take the Word of God to fit our position. And of course that's something that we all wrestle with from time to time, isn't it? But the Word of God is right, and therefore we need to line up with the Word of God. You know what a plumb line is? I'm sure you do. It's a length of string with a heavy weight on the bottom and comes to a point. It's used to survey work or construction. If I want to see that pillar there straight, I'll find a place on it, put the plumb line up next to it, and let the plumb line hang down. And if at the bottom the plumb line is a few inches away from the pillar, well, we would know that pillar wasn't straight and we had a problem. It's exactly the same with the Word of God. The Word of God is a plumb line. You take the Word of God and you get into it and you put it next to you and put it in you, and the Word of God will show you whether you are straight. And if you're not, you have a problem. Look in Psalm 119. You know, it's amazing how we can convince ourselves that, I know that I need the Word of God, but I can get by on less than you think. Well, if that's what you think, let me tell you, you're not really getting by on what you think you're getting by on. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. The more we see that the Word of God is right, and we line up with the Word of God, the more we will reject the false ways that the world has to offer. In Psalm 119 and verse 75, we find that not only is the Lord right and His Word is right, but the Lord is right in His judgments. Psalm 119, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. The Lord is right in His judgments. When God deals with us, He is right when He does it, and the way that He does it. And we need to be thankful for the mercy of God and the grace of God. And be thankful tonight, by the way that God deals with you. Be thankful that His Spirit does convict you of your sin in your life. Be thankful that God does chasten you to get you back in line to a place of repentance. We need to be thankful for that. The Bible says that no chastening at the time seems to be joyous, but it is afterwards joyful, and it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's like a child. If you're smacking a child, you do it for correction, don't you? Not to be mean, not to be abusive to the child. You do it for correction because you love the child. Now the child doesn't appreciate it. When I was a lad, I didn't appreciate being smacked, but I appreciate it now. even though my parents are not Christians, they chastened me and disciplined me to do right. And therefore God is right in all of his judgments when he afflicts us and deals with us to put us in the straight way. And we need that, because the truth is that we are more prone to go the broad way than we are the narrow way. It's our nature to want to do right. It's not our nature to want to do right. And so we see that God is always right in his judgment. One thing we can always be sure of. Look in Genesis 18, verse 25. One thing we can be assured of, Abraham asks the question here. He is interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, more so really for Lot and his family. But we find in verse 25 of Genesis 18, Abraham says, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And of course we can say yes for that. The judge of all the earth does always do right. God always is right in his judgment. So if you're going to do right, then we learn from God. We see in Exodus 15 we have to do right in God's sight. This cannot be stressed enough. We have to do right in the sight of God. Exodus 15, verse 26. "And said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight." I want you to notice the word diligently. You know, in order to walk according to the word of God, it takes effort. It takes the grace of God. It takes effort. It says, if you diligently, it's not something that you half-heartedly do. It's something that you're set on. It's something that you are intent upon. But he says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. We need to ask ourselves, whose sight am I doing right in? Am I doing right because of those who are looking on, those around me? Or am I doing right because it's what God wants me to do, and I'm doing it in his sight? The verse goes on, "And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And the question is asked, will you do that which is right in God's sight? The fact is, if you're knowing a little bit about human nature, most of the time we are concerned with trying to do right in the sight of other people, to make them happy, to please them. And we are not to be men pleasers. We are to seek to be a God pleaser. Look at Deuteronomy 6. We have to do right in the sight of God. Hezekiah did that which was good and right and truth in the eyes of the Lord, for the Lord. And it was not an easy thing. But Hezekiah dedicated himself to it. We must dedicate ourselves and seek the sufficiency that is found in Christ if we are to do that which is good and that which is right. We find in Deuteronomy 6, verse 18, "And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord." We find the two words there, our first lesson and our second. that we are to do that which is right and good. And again, in the sight of the Lord, notice it is not without promise that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Doing good and doing right and being true in the sight of God is not without reward. It says that Hezekiah did that which was good and right and truth before the Lord, and it says at the end of that chapter, and he prospered. He prospered. He knew the blessing of God because he did that which was good and right and truth in the sight of God. You find in 1 Kings 14 that God records God records reveal who has done right. God is keeping the records, and they are just, and they are right records. In 1 Kings 14, verse 8, the word of God says, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and David thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes. You can look in chapter 15, verse 5, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. We find that God's records will reveal the right and the wrong in our lives. So we have to seek to do that which is right. The next thing we want to see is found in Deuteronomy 12. This is important for parents. Not only important for parents, but I would pray our young people would get a hold of this truth and see the need even now to be practicing doing right, because we need, those of us who are parents, we need to realize that we have to do right for our children's sake. Look at Deuteronomy 12, verse 25. Thou shalt not eat it, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, and thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Look at verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Who are going to benefit from doing what is good and right in the sight of the Lord? They were going to benefit, and their children were going to benefit. There's verse after verse after verse. You get into the Psalms and you find that God promises that those who obey him and those that keep his word, not only are they going to prosper, but he promises that their seed will prosper. So doing right not only gives benefit to the doer, but that benefit is passed on to the generations to come. And so we have to do right for our children's sake. And then we find that in Deuteronomy 13, verse 18, again to emphasize that we must understand that doing right means we must listen to God. Deuteronomy 13, verse 18, when thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep all his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. How do we know what is right? We listen to the word of God. The word of God tells us what is right, and then we have the responsibility to hearken to the word of God. What did God say concerning David? When David sinned, God said that David had despised him. Why? Because David had sinned against the Lord. He despised the Lord in that he had disobeyed God's word. And so we need to realize we have to hearken to the word of God. We have to listen to the voice of the Lord. We have to listen to the word of God. We have to pay attention and heed the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we might do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. David ignored the word of God when he coveted his neighbor's wife. He did wrong when he ignored the word of God, which says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." He ignored the word of God when it says, "Thou shalt not kill." He did not hearken to the word of God. We need to learn, if you're going to do right, we must listen to the word of God. And then in 1 Samuel 12, we find a verse that we used in my last study concerning good. We find that right is also listed there in 1 Samuel 12. Again, doing that which is good and doing that which is right has to be learned. 1 Samuel 12, verse 33. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but will teach you the good and the right way." You see, good and right has to be learned. The Bible doesn't say in vain, "There is none good, no, not one." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the more I go around knocking on doors, and the more I witness to people, the more I realize just how real Romans chapter 3 is. Because the Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone astray, they've all gone out of the way. It's not in the depraved nature of man to seek after God. God comes to us and seeks us as the shepherd that finds the lost sheep. So we need to realize that doing right has to be learned. We learn to do right by proper example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we heard the saying, "I can't hear what you're saying because of what you're doing." It's another way of saying your actions are speaking louder than your words. Parents, I realize somebody might have to think back a long time, but have you ever had the experience of one of your children, you told them something that they are not to do, and they say, "But you do it." You see, they learn by example. We have to be proper examples. And yet we need a proper example. And we find that proper example in 1 Peter 2, verse 21. We find the proper example. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Christ is our example. Do you want to learn how to do right? Do you want to learn how to do good? Study the life of Christ. Learn to walk in his path. It is according to this, it is the path that we are to be walking in. Look at 1 Timothy. There is benefit in proper example. There is benefit in being a proper example, as we'll see here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. We find the instruction given here to Timothy, and the application to be made for every child of God. It says, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." By the way, learning to do right on a consistent basis, you have to give a lot of thought to it. You don't do it haphazardly. You find that Timothy is told, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself partially to them, Is that what it says? No, give thyself wholly to them. And if I say to Paul, I'm going to give you a whole pie, and I take out a pie tray and there's only one slice left. Am I giving Paul the whole pie? No, of course not. If I'm going to give Paul the whole pie, it's got to have no slices missing. If we are going to follow God, let's not give God a pie with some slices missing. So we say, Lord, you can have the whole pie, but I'll keep this piece myself. You've not given him the whole. God does not have any use for part of us. He wants the whole of us. He says in 1 Timothy 4:15, give thyself wholly to them. Watch this. That thy profiting may appear to all. Obeying the word of God, there will be profit. People will see your life being blessed and see you profiting, seeing you doing better because you obey the word of God. And when people see you profiting, they think to themselves, I want to get in on this. I want some of that. But in verse 16 it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Doctrine is sound teaching. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. To be rescued, delivered from the wicked world. It's amazing, the people that claim that they are Christians and yet they live worldly. And we know that we are to be set apart from the world, as the scripture tells us. And so a proper example is important. We need a proper example, and we are to be a proper example. And then in 2 Chronicles 34 verses 1 and 2, doing right means that you cannot quit. You cannot quit. We find here at the beginning of the record of Josiah, find a summation of his life in the first two verses. And look what it says. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And look in verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and he climbed neither to the right hand nor to the left. The summation of Josiah's life is that he started out doing right and he continued to do right throughout his life. You see, doing right is not a pick and choose thing. I'll do right this time, but I might do wrong the next time. Depends on whether it suits you. If we're going to do right in the sight of the Lord, we are to seek to do right continually. So then we find in Judges 17 verse 6, here's a situation that we find many times in the book of Judges. We find Israel continually being put into bondage, being attacked by other nations. Why? Because they have turned away from God. They were not willing to do right. We find in Judges 17 verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And if you look in the context there, it's talking about a man named Micah. And Micah had a house of gods, and a Levite came along, and Micah thought, I'll hire this Levite, and I'll have a priest, and God will really look favorably upon me, because I have this Levite as a priest. Micah was doing that which was right in his own eyes, as was the nation. we'll find that that would be the very last verse in the book of Judges. Judges 21 verse 25, and in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Then in the very next book, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1, and it came to pass in days when the judges ruled. The judges ruled, ruled because Israel was not acknowledging God as sovereign and as king, as their Lord. They were doing that which was right in their own eyes. And we find the man of Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah is the house of bread. And you find that this man, Elimelech, Elimelech means my God is king. But because this man was doing what was right in his own eyes, he left the house of blessing, he left the house of bread, and he went down into Moab, which is a type of the world, a type of perversion, and he went to Moab only to sojourn, only to stay there temporarily. He decided in his mind, there's a famine here in Israel, if I go to Moab, at least my family can eat down there, and we'll just stay until the famine is over. And what happened to Elimelech? He died in the land of Moab. And his two sons died in the land of Moab. But they only went there to sojourn. It was only meant to be a temporary measure. Why? Because he was doing that because it was right in his own eyes. Abraham did that when there was a famine in the land. God didn't send him into Egypt. He went of his own volition. So we need to be careful. We need to recognize the will of God. You see, the will of God is not changed by circumstances. The will of God continues straight on. And we need to be careful not to allow the circumstances to cause us to turn to the right hand or to the left, but rather just to follow the Lord, to do right, and let God take care of the circumstances. In Proverbs 16, you need to be careful. Believe the word of God rather than me. Rather than any man in the pulpit. Believe the word of God. If you don't believe God's word, and I agree with God's word, well then you say, well, he must be right because he is agreeing with the word of God. But the word of God tells us in Proverbs 16 verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And in Proverbs 21 verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. That is why we are to walk the way God wants us to walk. It's not very difficult to convince yourself that what you're doing is right. If you think you are right, make sure you line up with the word of God. There'll be no difficulty. If you are doing right, you and the word of God will be in line. But if you're not in line, it is not the word of God that is out of line. It's you that is out of line. So we have to be careful. We have to acknowledge God as sovereign and as king, because if we don't, our perception of what is right will be perverted. And then finally, look in Deuteronomy 28, verse 58, doing right according to God's word reveals the fear of the Lord in a person's life. So in Deuteronomy 28, verse 58, If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. You see, the Bible has a lot to say about having a fear of the Lord. A reverential fear. A reverential awe. An understanding of, or at least some grasp of the awesomeness of God. because we can never fully understand his awesomeness. But the Bible says in Psalm 145 verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That means you can't track it. You can't find the end of it. God is more than we can understand. But the more we understand God, and the more he reveals himself to us, the greater our respect and our reverence and awe will be that we have him. Because he is the Almighty God. And that will cause us to have a greater desire to want to do right. So we have to do right, we have to do good, and we have to be true. Next time, Lord willing, we'll look at what is true. And between now and then, I would encourage you to study the word truth and see what the Lord will reveal to you.